Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Tanya daf Chaf Hey. We're in Chaf Dalam and Beis. Thanks to Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Yilin Lezit and Zeh Mishmas. Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We are in the middle of Chaf Dalam and Beis. We're starting today with the words Amar of Mari. It's about halfway down, a little bit less than halfway down. It's about 25 lines from the top of the Amud. Last word in the line is Amar, and the first word in the next line is Rav Mari Barai Rav Mari Barad about Shmuel. The Gemara has been discussing over the last couple of days. I mean, really, it's been a galata in the third parak from the beginning, from after the Mishnah has been cited. Even the Mishnah itself was a galata. So, we continue, and we've been telling stories. We told stories of Nachum Mishkamza, that was a couple of days ago. And yesterday we continued telling stories of various Amarayim, decreeing fasts, sometimes rain came, sometimes rain didn't come, comparing one Amora against another Amora, and not us, we weren't doing the comparison, the Gemara was doing the comparison, and we are continuing. We're going to continue now going over some more incidents and episodes regarding various Amarayim. Okay, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday, and the Gemara starts off, Amarav Mari Barad Bashmoh. So Rav Mari, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, okay, the grandson of Shmuel, okay, usually you're called by your father. He's not called by his father. He's referred to as by his grandfather. Could very well be that we know that Shmuel's daughters were imprisoned. They were taken captive and violated, and so it could be that the father wasn't Jewish, okay, as a possibility. But either way, and that's why the father wasn't given attribution over here. Okay, but either way, the Anna Vakamina Guru than our papa. He says, I was by the bank of the river. So I saw the angels take on the form of sailors, right? The two words are very similar to one another. Malache and Malache. So I saw angels take on the form of sailors. They come Maisi Chala, so they brought candin, and they put it on the boat. And then it looked like very fine flour. So, in other words, it was a year of famine, apparently, presumably. It was a year of famine, and so what the angels did in order to help the people out was the angels basically converted sand into flour. So, Amar Lahu, so he says to his family, Mehalot is benun. We're not buying that flour. Meaning, that's miracle flour. We're not buying the flour. The Maisanisim, who he says, actually explains, it's Maisanisim, this is miracle flour. And the next day a boat came with regular flour, quote unquote natural flour, and that's what he and his family was going to eat. So again, it's been a big theme in yesterday's talk. It comes up again and right now, and we saw it earlier in the Masechta as well. And that is, try your best not to get any type of benefit from miracles, meaning something which is miraculous, which is above the laws of nature. Is nothing that we should benefit from. Rabbi Ekel Lehagronya. Rabbi goes to the town of Hagronya, Chazu Tanisa Velaasim Mitzray. So he establishes a fast, but the rain doesn't come. Amlahu Bitukulam of Tanisa. So he then instructs everybody, okay, usually what happens at the end of a fast is we break fast. Usually. Tonight, I'd like it that nobody break fast. Okay? We're all going to continue fasting tonight. So we're all going to go to bed hungry. Good. So he asks anybody, has anyone here heard, has had a dream last night while they were fasting? And if so, please tell me. So I'm Lehu Rav Elazar Mehagronya Ledidi Ikrim Mechama Shlam Tav. So Rav Elazar stands up and he says, yep, I had a dream last night and the following was said to me in a dream. So I Shalom Tov, Lerav Tov, Miriban Tov. So basically, peace be upon you. You're a good Rebbe coming from the Grand Rebbe, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Demituva mekiva ame, the one who is the beneficiary for his nation. Okay, so basically, he got a very short message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically Shalom Aleichem. So Amish Mamina Yisratzon he Nibai Rachame. So Rava says, okay, now I know it's an Yisratzon. It's a time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu listening to us. So what does he do? By Rachmei, he petitions HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asa mitra, and then the rain comes down. Next. The Gemara tells another story of a person who was chayiv malchus, subject to getting lashes in the Beis Din of Rava. The Baal Kusis, he had relations with a non-Jewish woman, and so he was subject to malchus. Nagde Rava umis. So Rava is the one giving the lashes, and this person dies. Now, mind you, we're talking about corporal punishment over here. What makes this interesting is that we're talking about corporal punishment outside of Eretz Yisrael. Generally speaking, we say that corporal punishment is certainly capital punishment, but even for that matter, corporal punishment in general is not done outside of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning you need mismachim, you need people with smicha. Smicha over here does not just simply mean ordination. Smicha means a tradition from Rebbe to Talmud, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And you have to be an Eretz Yisrael, and then you can convene a Beis Din, and then you can mete out justice. In Bavel, so generally speaking, mamonos, monetary law, they'll convene a Beis Din for. They'll do that outside of Eretz Yisrael, anywhere and everywhere, right? But in terms of giving out, meeting out actual corporal punishment, so generally speaking, no. However, over here, this is not malchus in the most formal sense, meaning over here, it's not a law in the Torah, it's not a negative prohibition, it's inappropriate behavior. And even in Bavel, so they would give out lashes for just simply inappropriate behavior. This is what is generally referred to in the Gemara as Makas Mardus. Makas Mardus means it's for people acting in a rebellious way, so they didn't meet out the lashes. Now over here, mind you, that when you give out lashes, Minatora, so you give out 39 lashes, or you estimate about approximately how much you can handle. Masha Inkim, when it comes to Makas Mardus, so you give out lashes. Now, obviously, there's no intent. There was no intent on Rava's part to kill this individual by giving the lashes, but that's what happened. Okay, so the person died. So Ishtama Milfiki Beishvor Malka. So the Shvor Malka was the king at the time in Bavel, and he heard that this happened, meaning that Rava gave Malkus to another person and killed him in giving him Malkus, and Bailet Suri LaRava. And he wanted to literally pain Rava. Basically, he wanted to take Rava to task for exercising authority and lashing somebody and killing somebody. And Shvor Malka didn't want that in his country. I mean, maybe he did, but he didn't want somebody else to do it in his country. So Amar Lei if Rav Hormez Imei de Shvor Malka. Shvor Malka had a mother, if Rav Hormez. That's actually her name, Rashi says. And Rashi says that she was attractive, and that's included in her name, the definition of her name. So, but she comes up often in the Gemara. She was a sympathizer to the Jewish people. So she says to her son, let me read this again. Amalei Yifra Hormez, Imei Dishvor Malka Livra. So she says to her son, she says, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have any business with the Jewish people. Meaning, don't stir them up. It's not good. That's not reasonable. The Choman Debai Mimrayu Yaivlahu. You should know that anything they ask from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is given to them. So the mother says to her son, "Look, son, I know you're the leader of the Babylonian community, but don't do it. Don't start up with them." So Amar La My Habayin Rachamim Asa Mitra. So he says to her. So I'm sorry, Mahi. So what exactly can you explain to me what they do? So she says, yeah, Bain Rachamim Vasa Mitra. Sure. They pray for rain, the rain comes down. So Amar La, Hu Mishum Dizimna Dimitra Hu. So the son says to the mother, that's not impressive. Meaning it's supposed to rain. It's the rainy season. Now Ela Libahu Rachamim Ha'ina B'Tkufas Tammuz V'Leis Mitra. How about this? How about they pray for rain in the month of Tammuz? Okay? We are now in the month of Tammuz. We're a week into the month of Tammuz. Okay, we live in Florida, so it's supposed to rain. But let's see it rain in the month of Tammuz. So Shach LeRava Kivein Daitech Uvayrachme DeLeisi Mitra Vayrachme VeLoasi Mitra. So now the letter was sent to Rava. Look, you're in big trouble with the king. So and the king says he'll let you off the hook if you pray for rain and it rains. So he tried to pray for rain and it didn't rain. So Amar Lefanu Ribono Shel Olam. So now he realizes that he's in trouble. He needs it to rain, and so therefore he's going to petition the Kadosh Baruch Hu an additional amount. Elokim Azneinu Shamanu Abasenu Sipurlanu Poel Pa'alta Biyamin Bimekedem V'anu Be'einenu Lora'inu. So he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim and he says, I'd like the other nations to know that we are your nation. Asa Mitra Adashafach Marzefe De Tzipore Le Diglas. Okay, so then rain comes down. And rain comes down to the point where it's running off the gutters and it's running into the Diglas, into the Tigris River. So Asavu it's Chazal Bechama V'amale Mi'ika Dimitrach Kamishmaikul Lehai. So his father comes to him in a dream and he says, who's bothering HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much? So Amale Shani Duchtech. So he instructs his son, look, son, you're in big trouble here upstairs. Meaning you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for terrain in the month of Tammuz. It does rain in the month of Tammuz, meaning they're not happy with you up here. Okay? What I'm going to recommend that you do is change your place. That's the word Shani Duchtech. So Shani Duchtech, so he does exactly as instructed to him in the dream. And so he didn't sleep in his bed that night. He moved to a different bed. And then when he went back to his bed, he saw that the bed had all these swords being stabbed into the bed. So in other words, Shadim, Azikin, whatever. They were after him, and so they made an attempt on his life, but he was given a warning in a dream, and so he moved places, and he was saved. Next story. Papa declared a fast, and rain did not come down. Chalash libe. So he had chalushas das, right? He felt despondent. Sarah Finka de Daiso by Rachame. He swallowed a little bit of hot cereal, right? Cracked wheat. Veloasa Mitra. And rain did not come down. So I'm with Rav Nachman bar Ushpaste. So Rav Nachman says to him, Isarf Mar Pinka Achrita de Daiso Mitra. Almost like mocking him. Well, maybe if you eat another spoonful of porridge, of cracked wheat, so maybe then it'll start raining. So Ichsif, so he was embarrassed, V'chalash Daite, and he felt really low, and you know how this always ends, because it always ends this way, Asamitra, and then it started raining. And because at this point in time, we understand the whole purpose of it not raining is because we're arrogant, that we have a certain amount of haughtiness, and by us asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, petitioning, begging, pleading, so it's a form of creating humility. Okay, good. Atan, that takes us through a bunch of various incidents regarding some of the Amoraim. And now, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, we are going to be treated in the Gemara now to a number of stories regarding Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. It's going to take us through almost an Amud of Gemara today. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, historically, right, I'm not 100% sure, he's certainly a Tana, but when exactly did he live, unclear. But he was certainly a Tana. Okay, the Gemara starts telling incidents regarding Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Be'orcha, Asa Mitra. So he was walking on the way at one occasion, and it started raining while he was walking. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, right now I'm traveling. Okay, it's not pleasant for it to rain right now. Now I understand the rest of the world is happy, but right now it's not good for me. So Pasuk Mitra. So it stops raining. Ki Yamato Beis, now when he gets home, Amar Lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam Kol Am Kula B'Tzav V'Chanina B'Nachas. Now everything's reversed. The entire world is in pain, but I'm okay now, meaning I made it home, so I'm fine. So Asa Mitra started raining again. Okay, so basically, he had the off faucet, and he had the on faucet. Now, I'm Rav Yosef, Maya Hani Lei, Tfusa, the Kohen Gadol, Gabi Rebbe Chena Mendoza. Now, on this, Rav Yosef's comment is, you know, his tefillah is better than the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, right. The Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol's tefillah doesn't stand a chance against Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Now, first of all, what does that mean? So you remember, we did this back in Yuma. So first we learned the Mishnah together. The Mishnah in Yuma says that as the Kohen Gadol was leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he said a short tefillah. Now, even though he was in the Kodesh HaKadosh, what the Mishnah tells us, don't daven long. The reason why he shouldn't daven long is because he doesn't want to make anyone more stressed than they already are. Sometimes the Kohen Gadol made it out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, sometimes he didn't. So therefore, even though he was in the holiest place, but still, keep the davening down, keep the tefillah down to a minimum. And what did he daven when he was there? So the Mishnah does not say, but the Gemara does say. So my matzli, so what would he daven? So So he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu that this be a year of rain and heat. So to which the Gemara says, what? Shchuna mal yasei? So what do you mean? Heat's a good thing? Heat's not a good thing. So adraba greyusahi. Why are you asking the Kodesh Baruch Hu for heat? Ella, im shchuna teheg yishuma utilula. So the tefillah goes like this. The Gemara makes it just a quick editing of the tefillah. If this is a hot year, so let there be even more rain. And anyone who's walking, and therefore going to ask the Akash Baruch Hu, please don't let it rain, please don't let it rain, don't listen to that person. So the Gemara now knows that the Kohen Gadol is asking Akash Baruch Hu to ignore the Ovrei Drachim. And meanwhile, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza says, look, I'm traveling. Please, Akash Baruch Hu, allow it to stop raining. So you see that side by side, the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is praying one thing, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is praying another, and Akash Baruch Hu is listening to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Okay. Okay, as long as we were going over the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara here just quickly wraps it up. We saw this back in Yuma. Lo yidu avishota midbeis Yehuda. The scepter shouldn't leave the house of Yehuda, meaning Yehuda should always be the king of the descendants of Yehuda should be the king of the Jewish people. Va'ayu amcha yisrael tzrichim mispanes demizev lo la'am acher. And the Jewish people should not need a parnasa from one another, meaning independently wealthy, and certainly not to be reliant on any other country. Okay, we are staying on Chanina ben Dosa, and we're going to be staying on Chanina ben Dosa for a good part of today's daf. So he says that the entire world, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that every day a baskol comes out, and the baskol says the following, that the entire world is sustained on my son Chanina, meaning through his zechuyah, through his merit, so the world sustains itself. The Chanina beni dayu bekav charuvim. And meanwhile, how does he sustain himself? So he sustains himself with a certain amount of charuvim, may erev Shabbos from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos. So his diet is very, very meager, box of boxer. Okay. Ahavir yo devaser lamech meitanur komal de Shabbos v'shaji akitarta. So they were poor, terribly poor. And so what his wife would do on Erev Shabbos is that she would light up the oven. She had no food to put in it. So basically she created an illusion like they had food. She would throw things into the oven that smoked so that while everyone else on the block was barbecuing and getting ready for Shabbos, so she looked like she had nothing to grill. But at least she looked like she was grilling, so at least smoke would come out of her oven. Mishum Kisufa, the Gemara says very clearly that she said we're on the top of Chafei Amar Aleph because she was embarrassed that everyone else had food to cook and she didn't have any food to cook, so she threw something that smoked on the grill, so at least it looked like he was cooking. Havala Hakshi Vavusa Bishta. She had a bad neighbor, okay, a very inconsiderate woman living next door. Amra Mirti Adandale Slahu Vlamidi. My kule hai. So she says, this is ridiculous. This is a bad neighbor talking, right? I know they don't have anything. My kule hai. Like, what's going on next door? Like, what in the world is she pretending like she's cooking? So azavatarfa baba. So then the bad neighbor now comes next door and knocks on the door on Chanina ben Dosa. So and his wife is home and his wife is making this illusion like she's cooking. Ichsafa va'ayla le'indrona. So she, the wife of Chanina ben Dosa, is humiliated. She doesn't want to answer the front door. She knows exactly what the intent is of this bad neighbor. And so what she does is she runs into a more private room to try to avert from the neighbor. is aved lanisa dechazi letanura male lachma the anga male lisha. And a miracle takes place, and the oven now is filled with bread, and the bowl is filled with dough. Okay, so a miracle takes place on behalf of the wife of Chanina ben Dosa. Amrallah, Palmisa, Palmisa. So she says to her, meaning the neighbor who's knocking on the door, right? Palmisa, Palmisa. Well, the Gemara doesn't even give us her name. So, Aisa Masa de Kacharech Lachmech. Let's go get a spatula, because your bread is burning in your oven. So, Amrallah, Af Ana, Lahachi Ayla. So, as she runs to the front door to open the front door, she says, oh, that's why I was running into the back room, because I was going to get a spatula so I can take care of it. Tana, af hi lahavi merda nichnasa. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says that was in fact her very intent. Her intent in running into the back room was to actually get a spatula. Mimneshim lumedes benisim, because she was used to miracles. Meaning that this was a quote-unquote an ordinary event in the Chanina home, in the Chanina ben Dosa home, where even though they didn't have any food, but sometimes in Erev Shabbos, bread just comes out of the oven. Right. In other words, right. This doesn't fit into the theme of yesterday and the day before about not relying on miracles. Agreed? Yeah. I'm related to Besayat Emas, Nezav, and Star Kolehai. So she finally says to her husband, okay, and we're going through a lot in life, meaning how much longer? So I'm alay my navin. So he says to her, well, what am I supposed to do? So by rachame din esfilach midi. So she says, what do you mean? You daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he gives us something. So by rachame, he begs the Kadosh Baruch Hu, yasakim in pieces yad. And the Gemara over here gives us a description. We talk about being in the middle of Agarata. We are so in the middle of Agarata right now. And the Gemara gives a description of a hand coming out from Shemayim, v'yavul echad kara depetur de dahava. And what came in the direction of Rabbi Chanin ben Dosa was the leg of a table, and it was made out of gold. Okay, so fine. So this is what Rabbi Chanin ben Dosa received from Shemayim when he asked for something because his wife told him that they were suffering too much. Chaza b'chama. Now she had a dream. Now Rashi says this is a reference to her. Right, divasai b'chama. Okay, so the she had a dream. I see the tzaddik d'achle absurd d'ahava d'israel tras karei. Look, in the future, after 120 years, when you reach the Olam HaEmes, so tzaddikim are going to sit down at a table comprised of three legs. I don't know. Right? It's a good question. I don't know. Ve'at ocheles apetur detrei kairei. But you, and presumably your husband, are going to eat at a table comprised only of two legs, meaning you received one of the legs of this gold table. In other words, again, in the world of Agadah, listen, how much of it I understand, I mean, you know, I don't know, but I get the basic idea. Meaning by him asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for something that is going to take away from the Zichus and Olam Haba. So, Amrlei, Nichalach, Demecha, Achle, Kule, Amla, Petur, Demishlam, Anan, Petur, Demichusar. So now he says to his wife, wife shared with him the dream, so he says to his wife, you know, everyone else is eating on a full table, and we're eating only on a table made up of two legs. It's not right. So Amalei my Navid. So she says, okay, now what do we do? So by Rachem and Dinishkalin Aminach. So he says, what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to take back the leg of the table. By Rachem and Bishakluhu. And so he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please take the leg back. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu took the leg back. Okay. So. I don't know. It's okay. Tana. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa here as well. And the Braisa teaches us that the taking back was a greater miracle than the giving. Right? Just think, if I can give a terrible analogy, but just think of returning something. Right? Returning something to a store is not as easy, although most stores are pretty good about it, but returning something to a store is not as easy as buying it. Buying it is easy, returning it is hard. The Gemir, the May of Yahiv Mishkalo Shaka, the Gemara has a tradition. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do much in terms of taking things back. So this idea that Chanina Mendoza Davin and a Kadosh Baruch Hu took back the golden leg, that was a greater miracle than the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving the golden leg in the first place. Chan Beis Shimsha was one Friday evening. Beis Shimsha in the Gemara is always a reference to Friday evening. Rashi over here makes the admission. He doesn't know why. Meaning Beis Shimsha just simply means night. Why it always refers to Friday night? So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, I don't know. And then you look at Rabbi Kiva Eger over here. And Rabbi Kiva Eger makes his usual comment. See Rashi and Brachos Daf Chaf Hei. Where Rashi and Brachos Daf Chaf Hei says, get used to it. Get used to saying, I don't know. Meaning it's important. It's three difficult words to string together, but it's good to get in the habit. So Chad Beis Shimsha, so there was one Friday evening, Chazi Labarte Davis Atzive. So Rechanei Vendosa had a daughter who was very sad. So Amali Biti Lamai Atzivta. So he says, okay, what's the problem? So Amalei Klisha Chomis Nizchaliv V'Klisha Shemen V'Hidlaki V'Menu Or L'Shabbos. So she says, I'll tell you what the problem is, Dad. I was lighting my Shabbos licht, but instead of putting in oil, so I put in vinegar. Okay, now it could be that was a mistake, but more probably because they didn't have oil. So Amala Biti Mayich Balach. So Rabbi Chanin Mendoza says, what's the difference? Well, who cares? So Misha Amala Shemin V'yidlok Hu Yomala Chomitz V'yidlok. Look, you know why oil burns? So you're going to give me a whole chemical explanation of why oil burns. Oil burns because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said oil is going to burn. So, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can just as well say, vinegar is going to burn. So what difference does it make? Oil, vinegar, it's all the same. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tana Hayadolik V'Holach Kuyam Kula Achi Yibim Yimenu Or LaHavdalah. So, and we have a Brisa, and the Brisa says that it lit the entire Shabbos, meaning not only was Rabbi Chanan Mendoza right, not only did it light, but it lit for the duration of Shabbos up until Havdalah. At Havdalah, he put it out. In fact, well, here you look at Rashi, and Hedy, this is going to help us a little bit. Not totally. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes regarding him putting out the fire. Rashi is the fourth line down. Divar Amas Rashanat L'mimena Or LaHavdalah. Hilak M'mimena Ner Acher Lehanos Bo V'Ner Shom Maisa Nisim Kiva. He lit another fire for Havdalah, but he didn't use this for Havdalah. Ki Hech David Rav Yehuda B'Chala David Smidi. Just like we learned earlier this morning, how Rabba refused to take the flour that was the Malachim converted from dirt, so here too, he didn't want to benefit from the miracle. Okay. Yeah, for Shabbat, right. For Shabbat, I mean, there was nothing they could do for Shabbos. So, no, but we're talking about after Shabbos, meaning it lived through all the way through Shabbos. Sure. Right. Chanukah oil can't use for something else because that's chukdash. Yeah, after Shabbos, sure. For sure. On Shabbos itself, it's mukta, but after Shabbos, it's fine. Okay. Next incident. Rabbi Chanin ben Dosa Avalei Hanachizi. Rabbi Chanin ben Dosa had goats. So, and the Gemara later on will ask the question, well, how does he have goats? He's poor. Okay. But in the meantime, however, just stay with the story. So Armrelay Kamafsidan. So they say to him, you know, your goats are damaging. They're creating damage. So Armrelay Kamafsidan Nichlin Aduve. So Chanin Mendoza said, look, here's the story. If my goats are damaging, so then my goats should be eaten by bears. Okay. The Ilo Kolchad V'Chad Taisi. Taisi Laorta Duve B'Kanayu. Okay. And otherwise, if I'm wrong, so then my goats will come home with bears on their horns, meaning they're going to encounter a bear. If my goats are really damaging other people, so then my goats are going to be eaten. And if not, if they're not damaging other people, so then the goat will defeat the bear, which obviously doesn't. That's not natural. That's not normal. And they'll come back with the bears on their horns. And that night, the goats of Rabbi Chanin ben Dosa come back home, and they have bears on their horn. So another episode where there was a woman in the community of Rabbi Chanan Mendoza. She was building a house, and the material was being brought, the beams were not long enough. So she goes to Rabbi Chanan Mendoza and she complains. And she says, I got issues. They're just not long enough. Amala Mashimech. So he says to her, what's your name? So Amrale Eku. So he says, my name is Eku. Amar Eku Nimtu Kishurayach. Okay, so she says, I want your beams to stretch out. Tani Giyashiyasu Amalakan Amalakan. Not only did the beam stretch out, they went an ama additional in every direction. The Yeshomim Snipa Masum, and there are some opinions that say that it's not that the beam stretch out, but rather there were sectional additions attached to the ends of the beam. Tanya Plimo Amar Aniri Yisrael Abayis Ba'yu Korosav Yosim Amalakan Ba'amalakan. Plimo actually testified that he saw the house, and he said that the beams were actually extended in each direction. Ramli Ba'izeb, the Amruli by Zesh Shakira, and he says that the beams actually stretched out. I'm sorry, Shakira the Chanan Mendoza b'tzilaso. The Chanan Mendoza stretched out using his tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so far so good. I mean, okay. Certainly get the basic gist of the Gemara. The Chanan Mendoza was a special human being with a special connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, this much we got. Rabbi Chanan Mendoza, mihechan havalu izin. So the Gemara now asks some very simple questions. So how does he have goats? Baha'ani havei. So first of all, he was poor. And additionally, v'od hamru chachamim mimekalam behemad dakar b'Eretz Yisrael. And furthermore, we also know that you're not allowed to grow goats in Eretz Yisrael. Grown goats in Eretz Yisrael, that's behemad dakar, that's small animals. It is prohibited to grow small animals in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why, as we learned back in Avodah Zarah, is because they frequently go and encroach on other people's fields and take the grass and all the growth from other people's fields, and so therefore it is a blanket ban in Eretz Yisrael. Excuse me, of raising small animals. Right. The correct meaning, in lieu of the ban, right? In respect to the ban. That's a good question. All right. I don't know the answer. Okay, I'm following Rashi's lead today. So the Emigam Behemet Hakar Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Pinchas Ma'isav Avra Adam. So the Gemara here gives us a little story behind the story. How do you ever come onto goats? Now it happens to be, it's going to be a little bit difficult because the Gemara really asks two questions. Number one, he's poor, so how does he have goats? And number two, you're not allowed to raise goats in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to answer question one. Number one, the Gemara is not going to answer question number two. Okay, and that's strange. Usually that's not how the Gemara works. The Gemara asks the question, the Gemara answers. The Gemara doesn't usually just leave one question, just kind of like lingering. Okay, but fine. So, So the Gemara says, the story behind the story is as follows. A chicken was left in front of the house of Rabbi Chanan Mendoza, and the owner of the chicken disappeared. So now, it's a lost item. And what do you have to do when you find a lost item? You got to take it in, and you got to care for it. So Rabbi Chanan Mendoza said to his wife, look, I know this chicken's laying egg after egg, but don't eat the eggs, it's not ours. Chicken's not ours, egg is not ours. Don't eat it. And now what happened was is that the eggs, apparently they were fertilized eggs, and so now the eggs hatched into chicks, and the chicks grew up into become chickens. And now, basically, Rabbi Chanan Mendoza was basically trying to manage a chicken farm of which none of it was his. The chickens were driving crazy. So what does he do? So he sells the chickens and he buys goats with it. Okay. The mystery owner of the one chicken. Comes back sometime later and asks around. He says, you know, I left my chicken here. Anyone see it? So So Rabbi Chanan Mendoza says, okay, they're yours, good. Any telltale sign that the chicken was yours? Amalahim. Nasalo simon. And there was a sign, in other words, there was a clear mark on the chicken that this chicken was his. The chicken was no longer around, but Rabbi Chanan Mendoza remembers. And Venato Esa Izin, And so this person took the goats, meaning that what Rabbi Chanan ben Tosfos did was care for the chicken. Chicken turned into chickens. Chickens were driving him crazy. He purchased the goats with the chicken. So really now it's the goats are now what is left of these chickens. He gave the goats back to this guy. Well, when you're a shomer, you are supposed to do that. And when we go to the Bava Metzia, we'll talk about the responsibility, and we'll talk about we'll talk about compensation. Oh, that's all Bava Metzia topic. No, isn't it? I mean, again, the assumption is that it, as long as there's no yeish, still belongs to the owner. Okay. Anyway, these are all Bava Metzia questions. They're good questions. Okay, we'll table that for a couple of years from now. The hein hein easy to isu duga the karnayu. And oh, by the way, says the Gemara, these are the same goats that brought the bears back on their horns that we discussed a little bit earlier. Okay, that was the Bichanin ben Dosa. Okay, some amazing, to us would seem unbelievable, but the Gemara tells over, Meisim that deal with Rabbi Chanin ben Dosa. We move on. We're now up to Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, a little biography over here. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Of Yochanan Zakkai, so he's good. That helps. So then that's after the Chorban, right? So he's right after the Chorban, right after Chorban Abayi. We move on to Rav Elazar ben Pedas. So here Rashi provides a biographical sketch. Rav Elazar ben Pedas was an Amora. He was the leader of Eretz Yisrael. It says the guy Rashi quotes the Gemara Nida. He was a posek, and he was a student of Rav Yochanan. A student of Rav Yochanan after the death of Reish Lakish, right? So Reish Lakish dies. Remember that we spoke about that recently, right? A terribly awkward exchange between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan got upset with Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish dies. And we discussed this back on Daf Hes and Tanis, if I remember correctly. Hopefully I do. Anyway, the after the death of Reish Lakish, so Rav Yochanan takes on a new student, student/colleague, and that's Rav Elazar ben Pedas. Okay, and as we're going to be discussing now, he was exceedingly poor. Okay, so now we leave Rabbi Chanan Mendoza, we move to Rav Elazar ben Pedas. Okay, we're on Chaf Hamad Aleph, we are moving to, we're more than halfway down on the Amud, and a little slightly more than that. First words in the line is V'hein Hein. Okay, the Gemara continues, Rav Elazar ben Pedas Techikle Milsa. He was exceedingly poor. Okay, the Gemara spells it out. So Tuba Hava Avan Milsa, Velo Hava Lemitulamitam. So he had bloodletting. So you remember the doctor we spoke about just a couple of days ago, right? The very special doctor where Kadosh Baruch Hu visited him every single day, right? His name was Abba. So remember when the Talmid Chachamim came to him, said they didn't have any money. After bloodletting, you have to eat. It's no good to just have blood taken out of your body and not replace it. But so what the doctor would do is that for the Talmid Chachamim, who were very poor, so he gave them money. Meaning instead of charging, he actually gave them money so that they can go out and they can buy food. Okay. Rav Elazar ben Pedas did not have the luxury of visiting this particular doctor. So after bloodletting, he had nothing to eat. Shako beradatuma. So he took not even a garlic, but it was like the stem of the garlic. Vishadja bapum, and he put it in his mouth. Okay, so that's basically all he had going for him. Chalash libe, his heart got weak, he got faint. Vinim, and he passed out. Azraban l'shalulibe. So the Chachamim were seeing how he was doing. So now this is in his unconscious state. Kabach v'chayach, he cried and then he laughed, all while he was unconscious. And then after k'tzitzis denora me'apusei, and sparks of fire came out of his forehead. So he wakes up from all this. So they ask for an explanation of why he was crying and why he was laughing. So he says, while I was unconscious, so I was sitting next to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I asked him the question, and I said, how much longer am I going to have to suffer in this world? Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Elazar ben Pedas, well, how about this? How about I hit the reset button? Right? I'll start the world again for you, and I'll have you born in a different generation. where there'll be more in the world, and you'll have a better chance of making money. So Amar Latami Kula Hai V'Efshar, to which his response was, you're going to hit the reset button, and then I'm only going to have a chance to make money? He says it's not worth it. Amar Lei D'Chai Tfei O D'Chayina. So I say to him, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's longer? The life that I've lived or the life that I will live? Meaning, how much more time do I have on this earth? Do I have more time than what I lived or less time than what I lived? So Amar Lei D'Chayit. So he says, no, you live more than you will live. Okay, so the years that you lived exceed are greater than the years that you will live. Amar Lei Kamim Ken L'Beina. So he says, for sure now I'm not interested in you hitting the reset button. Right? If all I have to do is just live out, you know, however many more years, but I know that it's shorter than the years I lived, I think I can handle that. Amali Mahai Igra Samart Lo Beina Yavina Lach La Amid Ase. So he says, Chas Baruch Hu says, in the reward of you saying no, meaning I give you an opportunity to hit the reset button and be born in a new generation, but you said no. In reward for that, I'll show you a portion of Olam Haba. So Yavin Alach La'amadase Tleisa Naharvasa. He showed him 13 rivers. Demashka Afar Simon Dachyan, that and it was flowing some sort of oil. Kipras the Diglas, and it looked like the Euphrates, and it looked like the Tigris. Dema'anta Behu, and you're gonna be me'aneg. Right, from the word like Onik Shabbos. You will enjoy it. Amakama Havasulo, at which point Rav Elazar ben Pedas was not fully impressed. He says, that's it. Amar li ulachavrecha mayavia. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, but what about your friends? Meaning, if I give you more, so that's going to take away from your friends. So Amar li v'ana migava delefa di'ina. So he says, no, I'm not asking you to give me Olam Haba that's destined for people who deserve. I'm asking you, what about the people who don't get Olam Haba? Can I at least maybe get a portion of their Olam Haba? Machyan ba'askutla aputai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu flicked him with his finger on his forehead. Va'amali alazabri girabach yirai. And he says to me, alazabri, my love, my son, take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi explains, basically, I'm for my own amusement, I'm hitting you on the forehead. And that, explains Rashi, is what the sparks were flying out of his head while he was unconscious. Okay. Please, no questions. Please. Just, okay. Correct. Let's absorb as much of the story as we can, and then we move on. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Gaza Tenis of Alas Mitra. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina decreed a fast and no rain came. Amar Lei Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi Tenis of Alas Mitra. So then they say to him, you know, that's funny, Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi, he instituted a fast, and it was raining for him while he instituted a fast. So Amar Lehu Ha'ana Ha'bar Levi. Look, there's me, and then there's Ben Levi. Like, it's not, that's not fair. That's not a fair comparison. So let's all get together. Let's all pool our resources together, and maybe we can break the tzibor, break their heart, meaning subdue them, humble them, and maybe rain will come. Barachem, they ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. Below asimitra, rain does not come. Amlo nichaluchu shiava mata bishvileinu. So, is it good for you that the rain should come on our behalf? Amrule, they say to him, Hain, yes. Amra kia rakia. Kase panecha. So now he turns to Shemaim and he says to the heaven, cover your face. Meaning, we need clouds. Let's go. So, lo ichse. The heavens did not cover its face. Amra kama azim pene rakia. So he says, what an arrogant sky. Not ready to cover its face. Ichsei, he covered his face, Vasa Mitrei, and the rain actually comes down. Okay. Levi Gazat Anis of Allah Samitra. Levi instituted a fast, and the rain did not come down. Am Elofan Ribbono Shel Olam, Alita V'Yashavta Baron, V'Yinatam Merachim Avanecha. So he speaks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and if you can very well imagine, this is not an appropriate way to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you're up in heaven, and you have no compassion over your children. Levi says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Levi, just a little biography, so he was of the same generation as Rebbe, as Rav of Shmuel, but he was right in that, Rebbe Chia, so he was right at the border between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. So that's how we speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asa mitra v'itla. So it rains, but a Levi becomes lame, meaning he's unable to walk. And it's the Gemara, the way seemingly the simple pshat in the Gemara, it's a direct correlation to the way he spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Elazar la'olam al yatich adam dvarim kapi mala. Do not speak in a brazen way to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shari Adam Gadol yatich dvarim kapi mala, because a Adam Gadol, a great man, spoke arrogantly, not arrogantly, but sharply to Kadosh Baruch Hu v'itla, and he became lame. Umanu Levi, that person is Levi. The Agam Levi, Alevi, Afay Kita Kami, the Rabbi, the Edla, the Gemara now knows. Now, wait a second. We have another story regarding Levi in terms of how he became lame, and that was he did a handstand in front of Rabbi, Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Right? It's the third parak of Megillah, where the Gemara over there describes different ways of prostrating, of bowing down. So one of them was called Kida. Kida was a way of bowing down. Rashi over here gives a description. The Gemara Megillah over there gives a very similar description, where basically it's doing a handstand and having enough dexterity and strength where you're basically able to support your entire body on your hands, and he kissed the ground while he did so. And apparently it caused a shift in his hip, and he becomes dislocated, and he's lame, and he's unable to walk. So the Gemara says that was the cause of him becoming lame. So the Gemara says, Hava Hagamalei. So the Gemara says, okay, two causations, meaning there was the actual him putting himself in that situation, but compounded with the fact that he spoke this way to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and right, we've seen this a number of times in the Gemara, where, in other words, you have a certain punishment, but it will come at a very very sensitive time. Rabbi Chia, let's do a little bit more for today. Rabbi Chia bar Lulina sham ina lahana chanana dekamrei nesiv nesiv maya ba'amun amoav. Rabbi Chia bar Lulina hears the clouds speaking, and the clouds are saying to one another, "Let it rain on the countries of Amon and Moab." Amon lefan ribon shalom kishanatot zor la'mecha Yisrael chazisa kol umas olam below kiblu. Look, you offer the Torah to all the nations of the world. Right, the Gemara Avodah Zarah. You offer the Torah to all the nations of the world. And meanwhile, they didn't want it. Ba'ashav atanosim lahem matar, and now you're going to give them rain? Shadachah shayu aduchsayu. So just let the rain come to Eretz Yisrael, and let it rain in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Darash Rabichia barluli amai dechsiv tzadikatam yifrachas bavan yiskeh. Okay, the tzadik is like a date tree, it's like a palm tree, and he's like a cedar. Tamar. Okay, Erez Tamar, meaning what did we? Why compare the tzadik to both? Ilo Nemar Tamar v'lo Nemar Erez Eisa Amemar Tamar. Ain Gizo Machlis. The palm tree doesn't regenerate. So to compare the tzadik to a palm tree is not good because there's no regeneration. Av tzadik chas v'shalom ain Gizo Machlis. And then you would say the same thing regarding a tzadik. So therefore, the kachnamer erez, and that's why it refers to an erez, a cedar, because a cedar will regenerate. And ilo nemar erez, v'lo nemar tamar, isi omemar erez, eno seperos, av tzadik achas v'shalom, eno seperos. On the other hand, there's no fruit that comes off the cedar tree, masha enkin, that's not true regarding the palm tree, the kachnamer tamar, v'nemar erez. So the Gemara says that's why it says tamar, and that's why it says erez. So basically, we get the best of both trees. The tzaddik is compared to the best of both. So the Gemara says, let's just quickly run through this. Erez Giza Machlif. At that time, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Halokei Chlim Chavero Lakutz Magvim Anakarka Tefach. The quote says. So if the person is purchasing a tree from somebody else and he just wants to cut it down, so when it comes to the, so you pick it up from the ground one tefach and you cut it. Bizana Shikma, Shnei Tfachim, Baistana Shikma, some sort of sycamore tree, two Tfachim, and the Basilis of Shikma, Shlosha Tfachim. The Kanim is found him in a Bekak, so if he just is going to buy the reed, so he goes to the Bekak, he goes to the joint. Ulamala Bidikalim, Uverazim Chof Alamata Umashrish, Lefish Ein Gizomachlis. And when it comes to the deck on the Erez, when it comes to the palm tree and the Erez and the cedar, so you dig into the ground and you uproot it because it's not going to regenerate. So in other words, the Bryce over here says that when it comes to the purchasing of a cedar tree and a palm tree, it doesn't regenerate. And meanwhile, the Gemara said earlier that the cedar tree does regenerate. So the Gemara says there is not one type of cedar tree. There are actually multiple types of cedar trees. Kidrava Barhuna, Dama Rava Barhuna, Asara Mine Harazanain, Shanemar, Etain Bamidbar Ereshitava Hadas. There actually are 10 different types of cedar trees. So then, yes, some of them do regenerate, some of them do not. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today. Not the end of the daf, but today. So we told over stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, spent a good time with that, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, and again a continuation of Mora Gadata regarding various Amoraim and Tanaim living in Eretz Yisrael.